Let's read about when Jesus calls his first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, that is, the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
As we prepare to look at this word, let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who speaks to us, that you have given us your word, that you are almighty and all-powerful. God, would you be speaking to us today, we pray? Would you be speaking your truth? Holy Spirit, be at work in us, helping us to know more of who you are, what it means to be your people. In Jesus' name, amen. As you look at your life, who do you learn from? What shapes you and the values that you hold? To ask the question that Switchfoot asked in their song, "This is your life. Is it who you want to be? Are you who you want to be?" For Christians, we are called to follow Jesus, to learn from him and to be building our lives around him. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to explore, though, what this actually means for us. What does it mean for us to be disciples of Jesus? Or to put it another way, what does it mean for us to follow him? Now, it stands up front to say that as we go through this series over the next 4 weeks, we are not going to cover every little thing about being a follower of Jesus. I'm sorry, if we're doing that, we're going to take all our lives to do this. But what it is as we explore this, we're going to think about some of the principles that guide us around what does it mean for us to be disciples of Jesus? What does it look like for us to follow him now? See, it's helpful for us to think about these things, whether we've been following Jesus all our life or whether we don't yet have that personal relationship with God. Whether we've been doing this for 90 plus years, or less than a minute. It's helpful for us to think about, well, what does it actually mean for us to be a follower of God here and now? And so we're going to work through this over the next 4 weeks. And we're going to work through things about what does it mean to follow Jesus? How do we position ourselves to follow God well? We're going to talk about the costly nature of discipleship. We're going to think about how this is for all peoples of all stages and ages, and how do we live this out. As we jump into this, exploring this topic though, I think it's helpful for us to do a little bit of a nerdy dive into some of the language around disciples. So hang in there with me. We're going to do a quick Greek lesson in this. See, the New Testament has some words that it uses for being a disciple and describing disciples. This week, I went back to my book. It was Intro to New Testament Greek. It was the first book that I got about learning Greek. And the word that it teaches us that is defined as disciple, that is translated as disciple, is this top word, mathetes. Now, all my Greek friends will probably correct my pronunciation there. That's all right. Literally, it is described or translated as a disciple. Some of the other ways that it can be translated, though, is a learner, a pupil, one who follows the teachings of another. And in the book of Acts, it's used as a descriptor of those who hold Jesus as Lord. So that is our base word, mathetes, a disciple. And it comes from the verb manthano, which is to learn. Or the other way it could be described is to understand or seek knowledge in something, to be increased in knowledge. The other word that is used for being to be a disciple is this bottom word, mathetio. And that is literally to be a disciple or to make a disciple. And the idea behind this word is actually that it is someone who is a learner of another. That to be a disciple is to sit at the feet of someone, to learn from them, and to follow the precepts and instruction of that teacher. This language then helps us understand some of what Jesus is saying when he's talking to the disciples and calling people disciples. He's using this to say, this is about someone who learns and is seeking to sit at the feet of another. And this holds as well with the Jewish understanding of education at that time. See, for rabbis, they would invite people to come and be their disciples. And what that meant was that you would follow that rabbi around where they went. You would sit at their feet. You would eat with them. You'd walk where they walk. You'd go with them. You'd hear them discuss with other rabbis some of the challenging passages, understandings of them. You'd hear them teaching the crowds. You'd be following them and learning from them in every aspect of their life. But the Jewish model of education with the rabbis was that you had to be the best of the best to be in it. See, from about the age of 6, I believe it is, Jewish boys, sorry girls, you don't get a part of this, but Jewish boys would be taken and they would have to learn the Old Testament scripture. And only the ones who were the best at doing that would then be invited by a rabbi after they've submitted their application, basically, saying, hey, I want to be a disciple of you. Then the rabbi would say, yeah, we're inviting you to follow me. And you would learn from that rabbi. So if your rabbi was Rabbi David, then you were a student of Rabbi David and you would carry that tradition on through the ages. You were a disciple of Rabbi David and the rabbis that had taught him as well, and you would carry that tradition on. And this was prestigious. It was prestigious to be a disciple of a rabbi, to be a follower of a rabbi, that then you would also be invited into that space as well. But Jesus comes along and he flips discipleship on its head. See, Jesus' discipleship is radical compared to the other models going around. See, what we heard in our reading today from Luke 5 is that Jesus comes and invites the everyday Joe to come and follow him. He's not saying you have to tick all the right boxes educationally to get in. Come and follow me. Jesus calls everyday people to come and follow him. Now, every one of the Gospels, of the four Gospels, has Jesus calling the first disciples early in his ministry. And according to the account that we just had read to us in Luke, Jesus starts off this by getting into Simon Peter's boat. Now, if you can imagine the scene, Jesus is on the shoreline. The crowds are gathered around him. He's trying to think, how can I actually teach these people well? Because they're pressing in on me. Everyone's getting kind of crushed. There's no order here. And he spots these two boats and he's like, oh yeah, awesome, I'll get on a boat. And then he looks at the person who is standing next to the boat cleaning the net and he sees Simon Peter. Now, in the previous chapter, at the end of chapter 4, Jesus has just been at Simon Peter's house and healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And so Simon Peter is known to Jesus at this point, and he goes, Simon, can you just help me get into your boat and push out a little bit so that I can teach these crowds? And Simon Peter is probably tired and grumpy at this point. He has been out fishing all night and caught nothing. It's hard work. It's not like he's just standing there, he's got a line and fishing rod waiting for the fish to bite. They're throwing the nets out, hauling them in, throwing them out, hauling them in. And he's caught nothing. It's the end of their shift. But his response here is saying, Jesus, I trust you, so I'm going to, I like you, so I'm going to do this. And even before he is officially a disciple of Jesus, Simon Peter is showing this trust in Jesus. He sets the boat out, and once Jesus has done his teaching, did you notice Simon Peter's response to Jesus as well? That when Jesus says to go fishing again, I'm sure Simon Peter was thinking, Jesus, can you see our nets? Any fish in there, mate? We're professional fishermen. We've been doing this a while. We think we know when the fish are biting and when they're there. But because it is you, Jesus, saying this, we're going to do it. And so Peter throws out the nets. And they get this massive haul of fish, just in case Jesus needed to remind Simon Peter of who he is and his love and goodness. And Simon Peter's response to this is to recognize his unworthiness and say, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. But Jesus invites these fishermen, Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, James and John, to come and be his disciples. Not the ones who were the elite of society, but the everyday person. Jesus will go on to call the educated as well to follow him. But what he's saying here is, I invite you, everyday person, to come and follow me, to walk with me as I reveal myself to the world. See, Jesus' call to his first disciples is follow me. That is the heart of what it means to be a disciple, to follow Jesus. These are the words that he says to Simon Peter, to Andrew, to James, to John. It's what he says later on to Levi, who's also known as Matthew, when he calls him. It's what he says to Philip when he calls Philip to be one of his disciples. And even in his calling of Nathanael to be a disciple, he's inviting Nathanael to come on this journey. Come and be with me and witness these great things that I am going to do. See me build my kingdom, share my love and goodness. Come and follow me. Follow me. Be my disciple. Learn from me. Sit with me. Watch me in what I do. Take what I am doing and show it to the world. Be my witnesses. And this is a call for each of us as well. That there's not just 12 disciples in the Bible and Jesus says, cool, I've got my 12, I'm done. No, Jesus says to all of us, come, follow me. We are called to come and follow Jesus, to sit with him, to learn from him, to understand him, to know him, to witness his power at work in us. Because every one of us is a disciple of something or someone. Every human being is learning a way of life from those things around us. We learn from culture about the priorities that it tells us that we should be holding. We learn from the media about the life that we're supposed to be living. We learn from social media about the perceived expectations around where we should be in our life and how we should be. We learn from our family of origin the way to be in our life. We learn from friends and others around us. We learn from what we listen to, from what we see, from what we read, from what we feel, and from what we experience. Every one of us, every human being, is a disciple of something. And Jesus says, come, follow me. Don't just be a disciple of what the world is telling you. Come and follow me. Because what the world is teaching us isn't always in our best interest. It might be good for the time being. It might be good for a moment. But actually, it doesn't necessarily bring us into fullness of life. Only Jesus can do that. See, Jesus' call of follow me is a call to come and be with him, but it's also a call to come and witness his love for us. Jesus' call to follow me is all about his love being known. Being a disciple is knowing God's love and sitting with God. In the other accounts of Jesus calling his first disciples, the writers don't actually give us this full story. They just say Jesus said to Simon Peter and to Andrew and James and John, follow me. And they just get up and leave their fishing gear and come and follow him. But this story that Luke tells us of what actually goes on helps us to understand a bit more that actually when Jesus says to follow me, is all about stepping into his goodness and knowing that. See, Jesus isn't just inviting Simon Peter to blindly follow him with no reason. But he is saying, I see you. I know what is going on. I care about you. I want you to follow me because I want to give you life in its fullest. Likewise, for us today, to be Jesus' disciple is to be steeped in knowing his love, goodness, and mercy at work in us and in our world. It is witnessing and understanding who Jesus is. Now, it's not to say that everything is going to go perfect in our life. I wish that I could say that every morning we're going to get up and we're going to get the miraculous haul of fish. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes it's going to be like we're Peter and Andrew out on the boat, fishing all night, going, God, where are you in this? We're here, we're following you, we want to be you, but we've got nothing at the moment. That's the reality sometimes of following Jesus, but Jesus' call is always wrapped in his love, goodness, and grace. Then maybe we won't see the miraculous haul of fish, but in the midst of our brokenness, our struggle, and even in our joy, God is letting his love work in us. See, Jesus' call of follow me is wanting to bring out the best. It's only as we step into Jesus' call of follow me, as we know his love, that then out of his love in the midst of our brokenness that we can experience restoration because we're going, well, my situation is not tied up in just what I can see here. But I am trusting in a God who is bigger than this. I can stand firm in the midst of this because I know that I am worthy of his love. Even though I'm not seeing it right now, I am looking forward to trusting him. I know that I am loved, and so I get to live this love out. I don't have to stand thinking, oh man, this bad thing is happening, so does that mean that God doesn't love me? No, I know that in the midst of this bad thing, God loves me. And I can be assured of that identity in him. Jesus wants us to witness his power and grace at work in us. He wants us to know his restoration. He wants us to know his life. He wants us to know his love. And his call of follow me is to step into that, to come and sit with it, to go, God, yeah, I don't get it. I don't get why I'm going through this struggle, but I'm going to come and follow you and seek you in this. The third thing about Jesus' call is that Jesus' call is follow me, and this is a call to be close to him. One of my favourite downtime activities, one of the things I do to relax, is watch far too many and read far too many cop and spy thrillers. Now, if you've ever watched or read any of those kind of dramas, you know that when the good guy needs to follow along after a bad guy, they do so at a distance. They don't want to get found out that they're following them because they want to follow the bad guy to get the bigger fish, whether that's the location of all the weapons that they've stored, whether that's the boss of the crime gang, whatever. They can't be seen. They've got to tail them at a distance. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying, follow me at a distance, make sure I don't see you, but don't be too far away because I might need you to step in at some point as well. Jesus' call of follow me is more like Hamish and Andy's game of ghosting that they introduced about 15 years ago. A game where you had to get as close to someone as you could, you had to be behind them, and you would mimic their actions for as long as you could without them noticing. Now, ideally, in that game, they didn't want to be noticed. They wanted to see how long they could go. But Jesus is saying, come and get close to me. Come and be with me. I want you to follow me, not from a distance. I want you to be with me. Be in my presence. Be there in this space for me. See, Jesus' call of follow me is a call to come and have personal relationship. Jesus' call is to say, I want you to follow me and learn from me. That means you need to be with me. You can't hear what I'm saying if you're far away. You can't see what I'm doing truly if you're not close to witness the action. I can't help you. I can't instruct you if you're far off. Come and be with me. Jesus wants this close personal relationship. When Zacchaeus was in the tree, he wanted to glimpse Jesus walking past. He thought, if I can just see Jesus, that'll be good. But Jesus, seeing Zacchaeus, said, no, I don't want you just to see me. I want you to know me. I want you to be in close relationship with me. So what he does is he calls Zacchaeus out of the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come and eat. Let's be together. Come and let's learn and grow together. We can't truly be Jesus' followers and be his disciples if we're not sitting with him, if we're not learning from him, if we're not seeking to know him more and more in our lives. Because Jesus' call is to have close personal relationship with him. The last thing for us is this, that Jesus' call of follow me is costly. Following Jesus is costly. When Jesus calls his first disciples, they have to leave their fishing behind. They get up and they walk away from it. They say, yeah, we're putting everything in this basket of following you, Jesus. We want to know you and we want to walk with you because we've seen you do great things and we want to see that more. Robert Karras, who is a New Testament scholar, put it this way. He says this about following Jesus and this call of the disciples. Following Jesus is not a task which is added to others like working a second job. It is everything. It is a solemn commitment which forces the disciples to be to reorder all their other duties. Following Jesus isn't something that we just add on, like a tack on, like the steak knives. Following Jesus takes all of us. It takes everything we have, and it shapes everything we do. But as the disciples left their fishing gear, as Jesus calls us to follow him with all that we are, it's not about what are we losing, but what are we gaining? So yeah, it might be hard to lay down all these things. To go, well, if I can just have a foot in the Jesus camp and a foot in my identity as a worker, as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, as a friend, whatever, then I'll be good enough because I can know that, well, whichever way I go, I'm all right. Now, following Jesus is saying, yeah, I'm following you. I want to learn from you, Jesus. I want to sit with you. I want to be with you. I want to follow you with all that I am. Because while it's costly, this is also an invitation to walk with the God of the universe, to be with the God of the universe, to live in relationship with the God of the universe. A God who loves and cares for us. A God who gives us grace and mercy. A God who desires for us to be restored in our humanity and to have life to its fullest. And there will be plenty of what ifs. Because the world will throw at us these things that look appealing for a time. Maybe we go, well, what if that? What if that? What if I can do that? Oh, but what if I miss out on this thing? Yeah, you're going to miss out on some stuff. But what I can say with my whole heart, confident, what others in this room who have been following Jesus for a long time will tell you is this. You will say no to some stuff. It won't be easy. But what you are being invited into is far greater. Gaining life with Jesus, following Jesus with all that we are, that is the best thing that we can do. That is the best thing that we can have. So today, whether you've been following Jesus for 50 plus years, whether you haven't yet decided to have a personal relationship with him, we're going to have an opportunity here to respond. And our response is this. It's choosing again to say, yeah, Jesus, I want to follow you. Or it's choosing to say, God, I don't understand this thing, but this personal relationship, this following you, this learning and being with you sounds like a pretty good thing. And so this morning, as we respond, I'm going to give us a minute to respond. And I invite you to use this minute to say, God, I want to follow you with all that I am. Help me to do so. Help me to lay my life down at your feet again. Help me to sit and be with you. Some of us here probably need to hear the reminder that being a disciple of Jesus is not about what we do, but about being with him. And some of us need to step into being with him, maybe for the first time, maybe to pick it up again. But let's take a minute, let's lay ourselves down at God's feet, asking him to help us to follow him with all that we are.